It is a joy to be here. I enjoy seeing churches grow and expand. I really enjoyed that slide presentation. And behind the scenes, there's a lot of people working. I know that from pastoring. And so we have people volunteering with children, with youth, ushers, and sound, those working in the sound and video and audio. And so all of you who are a part of this church, we appreciate you greatly. Your encouragement, your commitment to your pastors and to this church family is awesome. And so I congratulate you on 10 years of fruitful ministry. And if Jesus tarries, he's coming. Another 10, 20, 30, 40 years. We'd like to see Jesus come back, but if he doesn't come back, we're going to continue to do what he wants us to do, expand the kingdom of God, because the most important thing in the world is not just a building, thank God for buildings, but it's the lives of people. The only thing you can take with you to eternity is someone else. And so we want to impact the lives of people. The message that changed our heart, when I was 8 years of age, I attended a church camp in Weeping Water, Nebraska, and that's where I gave my heart to the Lord. And from 8 until about 18, I was in church and fellowship with friends, but then as a teenager, kind of lost fellowship with my church and my friends, but the Lord never left me alone. And he got me to church one night to hear an evangelist, and I rededicated my life, and I heard the call to ministry. And from that time until this, my wife and I, for the last 37, 38 years, have been serving God. And so it just gets better all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to share something with you this morning concerning this church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, we read all 10 verses last night. I'm not going to do that this morning. We shared some other things I'm not going to share this morning for sake of time. But I want to talk to you this morning about what has caused this church, Hanover Christian Center, and by the way, I think this is awesome. This was a project that we had all of our pastors, those who were planning to be pastors, do in our Advanced Church Pioneering class, and I'm sure I looked at this, but this is awesome. We had a small group of about 25, I think, or 30 individuals, and so we'd break them up into four or five. And we had a twofold purpose. Number one, if you are planning to pastor a church, pioneer a church, what would you do? You have to come up with the vision, the logo, the vision statement. Think about everything that's involved in starting a church, location, website. Actually, we required them. I think, I'm not sure if your group we did, but to come up with a website, come up with everything. And so the second purpose is to work together with a group of people you might not like to work with. That was really the ultimate goal, because in pioneering a church and in working with people, you have to learn to get along with everyone and work together to build a family church. And so we're just so excited to see that actually that information was used, and here's the visible product of that. And so we have many of our graduates who are out pastoring today, and I'm excited about that. I love pastoring. As I mentioned last night, I was not always excited about pastoring. There was a time that I didn't want to be a pastor, did not want to be a missionary, and I told the Lord that. And he had a different idea. He allowed me to pastor for about 12 years, and I loved every moment of it. And when I began to love it too much, he called me to the mission field. So my wife and I have been between working at Rhema and in missions for the last over 25 years. For the last 15 years, we've been in Asia, specifically in China, and we're still working in China and dealing with and working with and reaching Chinese-speaking people all over the world. And so that's been our assignment for the last 10-plus years, and we love that. But I love pastoring. I always told the graduates, and I think I told your pastors, that if the Lord allowed me to do anything, I would ask him to let me be a pastor. I think that's the most rewarding ministry there is, working with people, seeing people grow up spiritually. And now I go back to the church that we founded, that was founded in 1980. And we had little ones in the church. Now they're grown and they have little ones. That makes me feel real young. They come up to me and they say, "Pastor Gary," and I'm thinking, "You look familiar. Oh, I had your parents as children." So it's great to see that, just to have children born into the church and to see your pastor's kids in that grow up is great. So Brianna, you were how old when you first? 6 years old. And then Andrew last year, what happened to him? That was 2016, and now he's like, so what are you feeding him out here? He's growing. And to see the kids grow up in church, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. So praise God for that. I tell you, children are the future of the church. And I was, as I said last night, there are two individuals that impacted my life more than anyone else outside of my mother. And they were both Sunday school teachers. And they were both sisters. One had me when I was the age of 8. The other had me at the age of 16. And they changed my life. And I appreciate them. They're in heaven now. I'm forever indebted to them for the example they lived before me and the love they showed toward me. Thank God for people who work with the young children, the young adults, because you are impacting lives for eternity. As your pastor said, when you're younger, it's easier to shape you and mold you to go a certain direction. When you get older, it's a little more difficult. So we like to reach people when they're young with the gospel. Are you out there? Amen. All right. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. What has caused Andover Christian Center to remain strong after 10 years? And what will cause this church to continue to remain strong and grow? Obviously, you have wonderful leadership. A lot of people here who are a part of this church family. And you believe in this church. And of course, that is very important. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to read one scripture or a couple of scriptures, and I want to read them from the Living Bible, verses 6 through 8. This is from the Living Bible. Paul said, and let me give you a little background. When Paul established this church, he remained in this area for about 3 weeks due to persecution, and then he was forced to leave. And if you remember in the book of Acts, he had to travel to Berea, which is not that far if you're driving a car, but Paul didn't have a car. And so he had to walk by foot to that location. And so he established a group of believers, not only in this area, Thessaloniki, but also into Berea, which is the northern part of Greece. And if you read this whole chapter, you'll find out that Paul was commending this church because they were a strong church and they were a vocal church and they were evangelistic in their outreach because everyone in that region heard about God and about what was going on in that church. And Paul was only there for 3 weeks. Think about that. If you're pioneering a church, that's not the ideal pattern to follow. 3 weeks and leave. But thank God this church remained strong. And it was a witness and a light to this whole region. And so Paul tells us in verses 6 through 8, the reason this church was so strong and so influential, and I want to read the Living Bible. Paul said, "So you became our followers and the Lord's, for you received our message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the trials and the sorrows it brought you. Then you yourselves became examples to all other Christians in Greece." I like that. You became examples to all other Christians in Greece. "And now the word of the Lord has spread out from you to others everywhere, far beyond your boundaries. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your remarkable faith in God." Isn't that a great testimony? That's what we want, that kind of testimony. So how did that happen? So notice here what Paul says in verse 3. And I want to read this. How did this church become such an amazing church and have such an amazing testimony? Paul says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Everyone say work of faith. Your labor of love. Everyone say labor of love. And your patience of hope. Everyone say patience of hope. In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Three things he said. Your work, one translation says, produced by faith. Number two, your labor that was prompted by love. And number three, your endurance that was inspired by hope. And as I mentioned last night, even though every local church is unique and has its own structure, and even though there are no specific guidelines or programs that will automatically guarantee success, I believe these three principles are an essential part of every successful church. Number one, and I just want to briefly talk about this because we focused on this last night. Excuse me. Paul said, your work that was produced by faith. And I believe that principle is very strong here in this church. Someone had to have faith. We heard the testimony. And it really was a supernatural testimony. I remember after graduating from Rhema, the last thing I wanted to do was go back to my home state. The last thing. And so I'm driving down the Broken Arrow Expressway. Shelly knows where that is. I'm praying in other tongues, and I hear on the inside of me, go home. And I resisted that for a long time, to be honest with you. I did not want to go home. You know, Minnesota, that's where my wife's from. They say the only good thing that comes out of Iowa is I-35, Interstate 35. But anyone here watch the movie Field of Dreams? Anyone? Then you know Iowa's heaven. I'm just kidding. It's full of cornfields. And so I didn't want to go back. I left Iowa and that's it. I'm not going back, but the Lord said, go home. And so I had to obey the Lord. And one thing led to another. And through a supernatural series of events, we began a church. Almost very similar to your story. And so it's interesting how God will place something on the inside of you. And many times our mind will argue with that. We'll talk ourselves out of obeying God. But like your pastor said, if it's from God and from the Spirit of God, it will remain consistent on the inside of you. Our emotions will change like the wind. But when God speaks to you, it remains consistent. If you think back to the time that you were born again or filled with the Holy Spirit, it's just as real to you today as it was then. Because spiritual things never grow old. They're eternal. Hallelujah. And so God moves supernaturally with your pastors to bring them here for a specific purpose. For the plan of God. But it requires faith. Faith is just simply acting on what you believe. It is an act, an action. There's natural faith. There's the God kind of faith. Both of them require action. It is acting out of what you know, what you believe. And so God says something to you, you ultimately have to act on that before you'll receive more direction, more light, and more blessing. Hallelujah. We have to act. Faith, James said it this way, faith without corresponding actions is dead or unproductive. Right? So we have to ultimately act on what we believe. And of course, we understand that what we believe must come from what God is saying to us, either through the written word or speaking to our spirit. So your pastors had to act on that, or there would never have been an Andover Christian Center. Amen. Amen. And the lives of many of you, maybe it would have changed the course in your own life, not having been a part of this church and your family and reaching the lives of other people. And so there are multiple ramifications in one person obeying God. You know, we found this to be the case many times because we like to, every time we go to a country, we've moved now 21 times in 35 years of marriage. As they say in the South, I never used this term before, but it's a good term, fixin' to be number 22. Just something about fixin'. I don't know what that means. But anyway, we're commencing to be number 22. But we never planned that. That's not our idea. I don't like living out of suitcases. But that's just how the Lord works through us. And we never intend to do that. We always intend to go and stay as long as we can. But God moves us from one place to the next to the next. And we have to obey. And there's an element of faith in doing that. And so anytime we move somewhere, usually we're helping someone or training someone to be placed in a position of leadership. The last time we left Thailand, when we were there, three people moved into a place of leadership. And now, as a result of that, those individuals were impacted and a lot of other lives are impacted. So every time God works through you, it's not just for you. It's to impact the lives of other people. God wants to reach people. He loves people. He loves you. That's why He sent Jesus. He wanted you. He paid a great price for you. The blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. He wanted you in His family. And He did everything He could do to get you in that family. And so now God wants to work through you to reach other people. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it requires faith. As James said, faith without works is dead. We talked about that last night. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, we having the same spirit of faith, actually one translation says, an attitude. You know God has an attitude? Not a bad attitude. He has an attitude of faith. And if you hang around God, you'll get the same attitude. Yes. Amen. Amen. You know, there was only one king in the Old Testament who was a giant killer. Who was it?
David.
You know, Saul was bigger than David. Matter of fact, when they picked Saul out, he was head and shoulders taller than everyone in Israel. So a lot of historians believe he was 7 foot tall. That's a big guy, right? That's like Yao Ming. Remember the basketball player for Houston Rockets? Big guy. 7 foot tall. You could see him everywhere, right? The whole congregation of Israel stand up. There's Saul. Head and shoulders. And so he looked like a king. And in the beginning, he had a good attitude. He went and hid himself with the stuff because he was humble. Later on, that changed. But he was a big boy. But when the giant came, what was Saul doing? He was in his tent. And a little runt guy, David, little guy, came in and said, who is this big guy out there defying the armies of Israel? And he went out and killed him. And guess what? David, because of David, his example of leadership, he had some mighty men and they killed some giants. See, giant killers produce giant killers.
Amen.
You hang around giant killers, you'll become one. You hang around God, you'll have an attitude of faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You'll believe some things and say some things, and other people say, well, you're crazy. No, God said it. I believe it. We're going to act on God's word. Hallelujah. It requires faith. Then number two, and we talked about faith is acting. Number two, the church in Thessalonica grew and prospered because their labor was prompted by love. The second principle for success is a genuine love for people. You know, people are looking for someone to offer them unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, unconditional forgiveness.
Amen.
You remember one time Peter came to Jesus and said, you know, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? And it was a maxim among the Jewish race at that time to forgive 3 times. At least. And up to 7. So Jesus said, I don't tell you 7. I tell you 70 times 7, and that's all in one day.
Wow.
You might as well said 1,000. 70 times 7, 490 times in one day? See, what's that tell us? Unlimited forgiveness.
Amen.
And unconditional forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
We place no conditions on it. I'll forgive you if. Huh? I'll forgive you if. No, God didn't say that. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
No, I'll forgive you. I'll remove your transgressions. I'll remove your iniquities. I'll cast them into the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As far as the east is from the west, I'll remove them from you. Aren't you glad God doesn't remind you of your past life when you come to Him?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's a loving God and He's a forgiving God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, I love this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, although it says knowledge puffs up. You know, when you're a teenager, like when I know when I was 17, 18, 19 years of age, I knew more than my parents. I was embarrassed to go out with them in public. I'm serious. And then I got a little older and I found out they knew a whole lot more than I did. Now my dad just turned 90. I turned 60. And I realized he knew a whole lot more than I did. And the older I get, the more I realize I don't really know a whole lot. I'm thankful for what I know. But that's how things are. You know, when we're younger, I began pastoring at the age of 23, and I thought, you know, it was me and my ability to communicate and my great pastoral mannerism and all of my teaching ability that caused our church to grow. And then later on, the Lord showed me what it really was. It was my Sunday school teacher who joined our church. And she was a precious lady in her 70s, and she prayed on average of 6 to 7 hours a day for us and the church. And the Lord said, there, that's the reason for your success, not you. Well, it's humbling to find out the truth, but the Lord's right. You know, I like John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus. When they came to him, he said, he must increase, I must decrease. And then later on in Jesus' own ministry, you know, they came to him, someone, John the Baptist was in prison at that time, and he sent his messengers to Jesus and said, are you he, the Messiah, or should we look for another? You know, they were saying, the disciples of John were saying, well, Jesus is baptizing more than you, John. You know, there's a temptation there to be jealous. There was a temptation there to allow your flesh to control you. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, are you he that is to come, or should we look for another? There was an opportunity for Jesus to get offended. But, you know, he said the greatest thing about John the Baptist that anyone could ever say. He is the greatest prophet born among women. That's true love. Hallelujah. True love believes the best of every person. So here, knowledge puffs up, but charity, Paul says, does what? Builds up. I like the Living Bible. But although being a know-it-all makes us feel important, what is really needed to build the church is love. I believe Paul exuded love. He wrote the love chapter. We call it the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How many of you know probably Paul was not always lovable? You read his history, right? He persecuted the church. As a matter of fact, he went to strange lands to persecute them. He was zealous. And then he had an experience on the road to Damascus. It changed his life. He met the God of love, and it changed him. You know, there was a story. Dwight L. Moody tells this story. And, you know, Dwight L. Moody was a pastor in Chicago, had a large congregation, one of the largest churches in America at one time. And he was overseas in England and met several pastors while he was there. And he met a young man, a young minister who was up and coming, just very young. And you know how you are. You want to be kind to people. So you say, well, if you're ever in Chicago, come and preach for me. Well, he didn't ever expect this young man to come. Well, he came. And so he was just a young man. And so D.L. said, well, I have to leave town, told his wife, I have to leave town. So give him the auditorium in the basement. They had two auditoriums. They had a large auditorium, and it seated several thousand people. And then they had a smaller one in the basement. He said, you know, give the young man the basement and let him start there. So D.L. was gone for about three days. And he came in late at night, and So he got to bed and he's talking to his wife before they went to sleep. And he said, well, how's the meeting going? How's the young man doing? He said, oh, we had to move out of the basement the first night. We've been in the main auditorium for the last several nights and he's filled it up. And the only man who ever filled up the auditorium, the main auditorium, was D.L. Moody. He said, well, what in the world is he preaching on? He said he's been preaching every night on John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He's been preaching on God's love. He said that changed D.L. Moody. Because he was preaching on, you know, hellfire and brimstone. Nothing wrong with that. That's how I got saved. But he said he changed his message. He got twice as many people saved preaching on God's love as he did on God's judgment. Changed D.L. Moody. We can constantly learn, can't we? So what kind of love do we need to demonstrate? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 gives us the characteristics of the God kind of love. In verse 7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of other people. I like this other version that says, love's first instinct is to believe in people. Amen. You know, sometimes people in the ministry say ministry would be wonderful if it wasn't for people. But that's the flesh speaking. We all have flesh, right? Y'all have flesh out there? I've been around the world, lived in 5 different nations, several different cultures. I found out flesh is the same everywhere. It needs to be redeemed. Amen. Hallelujah. We all got that flesh. One day we're going to get a new body, but now we have this one. And so we got to keep it under like Paul told us, right? Because it wants to get out from under. So love's first instinct. See, the love of God's been shed abroad, Paul said, in your heart, not your head. Romans 5:5. The love of God's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost that was given unto us. So it tells us 3 things. What kind of love we received when we became new creatures, the God kind. Where that love is, love's location, in our heart, not our head. How it got there by the Holy Ghost. You know, it's like the story of Fred and Martha. Fred and Martha had a fight. Fred went to work. Martha made his lunch every day. So he opened his lunch, opened it up, and there was a note. Dear Fred, I hate you. Love, Martha. See, she really loved him. You see, we have 2 kinds of love. Natural human love, which is of the head, the flesh, and the God kind of love, which is of the heart. People do things that are unlovely, and our flesh gets riled up. Hard to love them naturally. But on the inside, if you look to the inside, you really do love people. You have to, because that love's there. We just have to let that love dominate us. Feed that love, exercise that love, and let that love dominate us. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. And then that love will reach out to people, and it will believe the best. To believe the best of every person, love never regards anyone or anything as hopeless. Love looks for the good in people. It believes in people. Hallelujah. Then 3, the church in Thessalonica grew and prospered because of their endurance inspired by hope. You heard the testimony of your pastors. They had to endure a few things. I'm sure you had to endure a few things, changes, different locations, remodeling. When we first started, I mentioned last night, we started in a theater museum building. And I'm sure my people thought I was crazy. And then we moved to a Ford tractor building where we walked in the back of the garage. There are 2 big garage doors, an old tractor broken down, an old truck broken down, a grease pit in the middle. I said, this is our sanctuary. Okay, Pastor. He's a little strange. Okay, Pastor. Well, we turned it into a church. Then we moved into a food store, grocery store. I'll get it out. Grocery store. Walked around in there and they probably thought, okay, we had to remodel that. But, you know, like your pastor said, sometimes you have to see things beyond where they are presently. That's faith. Then you have to act on that. Sometimes you have to endure a little bit. Hope is just a vision. You have a vision. But sometimes you have to endure to get to that vision. Amen. And I congratulate you, because today in our society, not too many people are willing to sacrifice anymore. They want everything right now. They want full service. Huh? But many times you have to sacrifice to get somewhere. Be willing to do a little bit without, maybe until you get to that point that you can experience a little bit more. Hallelujah. And so let me congratulate you on sticking with it and sticking with the plan of God and the vision of God. Hallelujah. That is tremendous. Endurance speaks of persistence, simply refusing to quit when things get tough. And they will. You don't have to believe for problems. You don't have to make a daily confession. I believe problems are coming. They just automatically show up. But we have the solution, right? We have God's word. We have the name of Jesus, the armor of God. We have all we need to overcome and go through any difficulty. The Bible never promised anyone that life would never have any challenges. Because there is a God that's operating in this world, not the God of heaven. The God of this earth is not the God of heaven. The God of this world is Satan. He's the one that creates typhoons and hurricanes and earthquakes, not the God of heaven. The God of heaven's not the God of this world. The God of this world's Satan. The God of heaven's the God of the kingdom of God, which you are a part of by virtue of the fact you become born again. So you live in this natural world, but you're in a spiritual kingdom. So you have spiritual laws on your side that help you supersede a lot of things that take place in this natural world. Hallelujah. So the God of heaven is our God. And many times in this life we have to endure. But God's in us and with us and for us. If God be for me, who can be against me? I like to say it this way. If God be for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. And He's for you. He's in you. He's for you. He's in this church. Anyone ever hear of McDonald's? This is their motto. Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing in the world is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. This is McDonald's, hamburgers, French fries. Huh? They built a huge empire around the world. It's everywhere. I mean, sometimes you go to some countries and you see those golden arches and you think, thank you, Jesus. When you've been out in the backside somewhere eating something for about 6 weeks that you can't identify, and you see golden arches, you just all of a sudden hear the choir of heaven singing, Big Mac. But after a while, it's not that great. But when you're eating something that's not so great, sometimes it's okay. It is consistent. One thing about it, everywhere you go. Now, there are places in Asia where we live, they have different hamburgers. Like in Hong Kong, they'll have macaroni for breakfast, macaroni in a bowl. That's a breakfast item for them. That's a little strange for me, but anyway. So they'll have different things, you know, they'll have different kinds of hamburgers, but nonetheless, smells the same, looks the same. I'm home. Hallelujah. Notice he said persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Think about that. This is natural man. You know, natural man, even apart from God, can do some things. Huh? Look around. There's some companies, businesses. Some of them are not even led by godly people. But they're successful. Why? They've tapped into biblical and spiritual principles unknowingly. Just think what we can do. And persistence and endurance alone are omnipotent. That just simply means you refuse to quit. Right. You know, I used to work many jobs in the secular world. I was in the printing industry for a long time. And just showing up every day would make the difference. I like what one man said, there's no traffic jams on the extra mile freeway. Just do a little more. Just a little, all you have to do is a little bit than the average guy and gal, and you'll succeed. You'll be promoted. Amen. Just a little bit, not much. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, you have need of steadfast patience and endurance. This is amplified. You have need, God said, of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God and thus receive and carry away and enjoy the full what is promised. Wow. I like it. Even though God said to Israel, I've given you the promised land, they had to do something. They had to pick up the ark and they had to walk across the Jordan and they had to tear down the first city they came to. The walls of Jericho had to come down. And they had to possess every area. God said, every place the sole of your foot walks on will be yours. That means if you don't walk on it, it's not yours. Even though I said it's yours, you got to walk on it. And in some places, they didn't walk on it. And it was a hindrance to them. They didn't do what God said. So God has given us everything, but we have to possess it. And we can. He's given you the faith that you need to possess. He's given you the name of Jesus. He's given you the helper, the Holy Spirit on the inside. Everything we need to possess what God has for you. He loves you so much. The second word in this passage is hope. And I'm going to close with this. Hope is a vision. And someone had to have a vision. You saw a glow on the north side of Boston. Someone had to see something. That's what vision is. Someone had a dream of this church becoming a reality. A dream of seeing a building full of people. But a vision or a dream alone is not enough. For a church to grow, the vision must be implanted in the hearts of its people. Everyone must catch the vision and do their part. And one of the temptations every church faces after they achieve some of their goals is to relax, sit down, and enjoy the fruit of their labors. But let me encourage you not to do that. We got into our sanctuary after roaming through the wilderness for about 6 years, and then it was a temptation to sit down and relax. But let's not do that. God wants us to expand. Right? God, 2/3 of God's name is go. 2,000 years, God said go, and he hasn't taken it back. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. He hasn't taken it back. God's into growth, expansion.
Amen.
Amen. He is the greatest franchiser. He has the greatest product, and it's free.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is everlasting life.
Yes.
It is joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it's available for everyone. I want to close with this story. We cannot afford to be like the story of a group of pilgrims which landed not too far from here. I've been there. I don't know if that's a real rock or not, but anyway, they got one there. 300 years ago, with great vision and courage, they came to settle in the New World. In the first year, they established a town. This is a fact. In the first year, they established a town. In the second, they elected a town council. In the third, the government proposed building a road 5 miles to the west in the wilderness. But in the fourth year, the people tried to impeach the town council because they thought such a road into the forest was a waste of public funds. Once able to see across oceans, they could now not look 5 miles into the wilderness. So we cannot become satisfied with what we have accomplished. We must continue to enlarge our vision and expect greater accomplishments. Amen? So let us continue to grow in faith and walk in faith and possess the promises of God as Andover Christian Center. Let us continue to love people and provide a church that offers love, acceptance, and forgiveness to everyone. To everyone. Every person. God loves every nation, every nationality, every culture. He loves us all. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, but remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And finally, let us not allow our vision to stagnate. If necessary, rekindle what God has called you to do and accomplish. Continue to dream bigger dreams and step out in faith and see God and watch God bring it to pass. Hallelujah.